Good morning. Welcome to worship at Timber Ridge Christian Church. Glad to have you here. Hope you've got a bulletin so you can see our announcements. I want to start with just some announcements. We are having Monday morning Bible study tomorrow at 10 o'clock. 10 to 11:30, we're in 2 Kings 2. We're going to begin at verse 19 tomorrow as we move into 2 Kings and talking about the divided nations. Great time of discussion. Love to have you out here for that. We're getting a new order for shirts. We're pretty close to getting the minimum order we need. About half. Okay, so we need another like 5 or 6 shirts. So if you want a shirt with a silkscreen logo on there, see Lynn. Again, we need about 6 more shirts to get this order going. VBS. VBS is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be in Capron Bridge. There's a bunch of churches helping. It's July 8th through the 12th from 6:30 to 8:30. We would love to have more volunteers. And you don't have to do anything or be in charge of something specific. We've got lots of little things we can do to have you help with crafts, help with taking children to the bathroom, watching doors, helping outside at the playground, just different things like that. So we'd love to have some more people coming to help. The next meeting's not this Thursday. I think it's the following Thursday. Where's Jeannie? The following Tuesday? Oh, that's right, because Thursday is the 4th of July. That's right. So July 2nd is Tuesday. There will be a meeting up in Capron Bridge if you're interested in coming to that. Otherwise, if you just want to volunteer, let Jeannie or myself know, and we'll put you on the list. Also, specifically on Friday night of that week, our church has the meal. We're going to try to feed the kids when they first show up, so we could use some extra help on that night, just for maybe the first hour to get dinner going and get it picked up after everybody else kind of leaves. Again, so if you just want to help for 1 hour, Friday night at maybe 6, from 6 to 7 or 7:15 might be the best time for that. Trustees will meet today down front here after church just to talk about a few things coming up. We will be celebrating the Lord's Supper on July 7th, so just be preparing in your hearts. Just take some time over the next couple of weeks to remind yourself of just how great the sacrifice of Christ is on your behalf, so you'll be ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper with great joy. Next council meeting, you'll see that information there, July 14th. I know it seems like it's so far away now, but it's going to come pretty quickly. Need reports in by July 10th. Don't forget, we've got the Raritan 4th of July coming up. If you'd like to help with that, see Mike Waterworth. We do have the latest quarterly magazine out from Eukarya Christian Academy. I can't pronounce that Latin word, so whatever it's called, Vox Civitas. Vox Civitas. There you go. All right, so that's their latest thing. If you want to know what's going on at Eukarya, grab that off the back. That'll be available for you to take a peek. Lots of good articles in there. I just perused it briefly. I think that's all the local announcements. You know, just some other prayer request things I want to make sure that we're aware of. On our list, again, Donald LaFalle got his staples out. He's improving. That's a huge praise. Penny is home and doing well, so that's a huge praise that she's getting better. We want to add some more stuff to our list, though. So, for example, Sharon has a relative that's dealing with bone cancer. So maybe some more information on that next week, but just be praying for one of Sharon's relatives. He's dealing with bone cancer. And also Tom's sister is going to be starting a new treatment for cancer. And just be praying that that would be effective. She's been battling cancer off and on for a while. We'd like to see this new treatment actually be effective. Also in Tom's family, Marcia, who's dealing with cancer, has 2 grandchildren. They both have a genetic deformity in their back. So they're older now, but they're both going to have back surgery coming up. So that's another thing to be praying for. Ruby's grandson, Jonathan, right? Grandson? I'm going to make sure I put enough grands in there. Just grandson Jonathan just left yesterday on a 3-month deployment with the Air Force Reserves. He's flying around various places across the world that may not be as safe as it would be to fly around here. So just be praying for Jonathan and for his wife and children, as of course you know they're going to be missing him. We also have, Ruby has some relatives or acquaintances that are in New Mexico, and they're part of this fire that's going on out there. So they've had congregants, congregation members in their church that have lost their home. The parsonage, I guess, in the church is is okay, but still in danger. So just be praying for those New Mexico fires and especially those families that have lost homes out there. We have gotten news from Kevin McComber. Kevin McComber, the shots that he's been getting for his back are not working. There is back surgery in his future. No idea when yet, but just be praying that that would be, that would be taken care of as quickly as possible. He's been off work for quite a while. He'd like to have his back better, so let's be praying for Kevin. Dennis Abey, we're going to add him to our list. That's Crystal's father. He's back in the hospital with some pneumonia. As you know, he's been in and out of the hospital for the last couple of years. He's back in the hospital with pneumonia and an unknown infection. They know he has an infection, not sure where it is. Our prayers these last couple of years have just been, Lord, let hidden things be revealed. And we've seen him answer that prayer over and over. Let's pray that for Denny. Let's pray for Phil Whitaker, too. He's been having some low blood pressure issues this past week, so he's going to be working with the doctor to try to figure that out. So be praying for Phil, because if you've had low blood pressure, you know it just makes you feel tired and lousy. So be praying for Phil this week as he tries to figure that out with the doctor over the next month. That's all I think I have that I got. Liz, it's nice to see you back and recovered from your bout with the sickness. Anyhow. Okay. Okay, so. All right, so we're going to put Tim on the prayer list for liver fibrosis. And what was the date for his appointment?
I think we're
going
to
not. Okay. I figured it. I already wrote down July, so it's going to be July, Tim. No, just. Yeah, just to find out what's going on. So again, let's just pray that hidden things are revealed for Tim and the doctors would know how to proceed with great caution. Al, it's good to see you back. I just talked to Al on the way in. He said he's starting to feel better every day from shingles. So that's just a huge praise. We'll put that on our list, Al, that you're here. So anything else? All right, well, there's lots of things for us to celebrate. Not the least of which is that the Lord allows us to come into his presence. Hurts, sicknesses, praises, all of that. And so as we come into his presence, let's quiet our hearts just before him, surrendering our will to his in all things, that we would be a joyful people before him. Let's stand together. The Lord is calling us into worship on this, the Lord's Day. Hear His call to you from Psalm 100. Hear the Lord say, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Let's pray. Lord, we are here to testify that You are faithful and that Your faithfulness extends to all generations, including ours. And so as we come into Your presence, lifting up the name of Jesus to praise Him for His mighty works for us, may our worship be acceptable through the blood that He shed on our behalf. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, grab your hymnal and turn to hymn number 433. The theme of today's service is to be witnesses in the world of the gospel of Christ. And so we'll begin by reminding ourselves that it's our job to go into all the world. 433.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. I was supposed to let you know that the main verses in the chorus were just a little different there and asked you that could read music to help the rest of us along. I apologize. I'll try to remember that next time. That is a new song for all of us, by the way. Well, our Old Testament scripture reading today is found in Isaiah chapter 43. If you want to grab your pew Bible in front of you, under the pew, it's page 717. If you're looking in your own scriptures, just turn to Psalms and start moving to the right. Isaiah is the first major prophet. Find chapter 43. And here again is the Lord's promise that we, His people, will be His witnesses. I'm going to ask Lori to read this for us. Isaiah 43, 1 through 13.
I'm just realizing I'm right next to all this pollen, and hopefully I will last. Okay. Isaiah 43, 1 through 13. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out of the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witness to prove them right. Let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witness, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you. And you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, for I am God. Also, henceforth, I am He. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back?
Isn't that a great promise, right? That the Lord, He is God. And when He saves, no one can turn back His strong arm. We're going to see how that plays out in our call to spread the gospel. And encouragement for us as well. Well, as we go to the Lord in prayer, again, this is the Lord we pray to, the Lord whose arm is strong. When He bears His arm, who can thwart Him? No one is the answer. And so we take our request to Him, knowing that He's faithful to answer and to answer in the right way. Let's pray together. Lord, on our list are many things, almost all of them outside of our control. For no matter the medicines we have or the therapies available, Lord, we have no power to heal without your sovereign providence at work. And so, Lord, we just lay our list before you. First of all, praising you for the answers that you've given, for Penny being home and improved, for Liz being here, for Al being back, for Donald's recovery. Lord, these are just such great answers to our prayers. And so we thank you for that. And we continue to lay these other prayers, whether they're those that have been on our list for a while or new ones. Lord, we just lay them before you and we ask you to move again, to give the doctors wisdom to make hidden things revealed so that they would know how to proceed, know what to do to bring healing. Lord, we know that our lives, our health is a fragile thing, even in this modern day, and yet you've given so many advancements. We thank you for those, and we pray that they would be effective to restore health, whether it's back surgery or blood pressure medicine. Lord, work in a powerful way on behalf of the people that love you. Lord, we think of Jonathan this morning and just being in harm's way. Lord, we lift him up to you and we pray that you would sovereignly reign over every air mile, every landing, every takeoff, every moment that he's away. Guard him and protect him and let him have eyes to see your protection at work, that he would be able to proclaim it on his return. Lord, we lift up his family to you in their absence. Surround them with those that would help them to bear this burden. Lord, it's hard to be a single parent, especially when you're not really a single parent. Your husband's just away. Lord, we would ask that you would surround that family with people to carry them along during this time. Lord, we would also ask in all of these areas, oftentimes it's not us that are sick, but those around us. Lord, give us opportunity to be a blessing to those that are suffering, whether it's praying for them or sending a card or encouraging them. Lord, give us words of wisdom and grace, that we would be a merciful and tender people towards those that are hurting around us. Lord, fill us with power, the power of the gospel, to proclaim a message of eternal life. We know that those, at least some, on our prayer list, Lord, are facing even death right now. So we would ask, Lord, that the message would be powerful through the work of your Spirit, both here and abroad, that your servants, your missionaries, whether it's locally here during VBS in Capron Bridge or across the world in Africa, Lord, we know that you have servants everywhere, even in closed countries. And so we pray, Lord, that their message of the gospel would have great power going out, that it would not come back void and empty, but fulfill your promise to bring many sons and daughters to glory. And we ask this, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, because we know his blood is what gives it the power to accomplish its mission. And so we ask in his name, amen. You know, we do like to recite the Lord's Prayer weekly. Again, it's a reminder that although our numbers may be smaller here than some of the churches of Winchester, we are united with one church, the Church Universal, the Catholic Church here. For those that have gone before and those that will come after us, this is a prayer that the Lord taught his disciples that unites us one with another. So let's pray it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom does belong to the Lord. It's the Lord's power that makes his message powerful in the world. And so we're going to sing hymn number 446. You can remain seated, but this hymn is titled, Jesus Saves. It's something we have to remember as his servants, that when we spread the gospel, We're not saving anyone. Only Jesus saves. 446, let's join together. What a simple song of victory, right? To shout at the top of our lungs, Jesus saves. As the ushers come forward to accept our morning offering, this is our response to that message. A shout of victory, Jesus saves. Let's stand together for the doxology. Lord, we lift up again this offering to you, just as a reminder that this is our battle cry, Jesus saves, and that we know that everything good comes from your hand, from salvation to the food on our table to the shelter that sets us apart in the storm. Lord, you are our all in all, and so we praise you and return this portion to you as a sign to ourselves and a sign to those around us and even outside the church that we know that Jesus saves. Use it to save your people and bring them into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, we're starting a new sermon series this week. Did you remember that from last week? We're starting a new sermon series in the book of Acts. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 1. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible in a couple of minutes, we're going to be reading off of page 1080. We're just going to be looking at the first 11 verses this morning. If you're in your own Bible, just go to the end of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. If you get to Romans or 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you've gone too far. Just go back a little bit to the left. I should have said we're going to be starting a new study in the book of the Bible called Acts of the Apostles. Did you know that's its formal name in the Greek New Testament? Acts of the apostles, which makes perfect sense if you know anything about what we call normally just the book of Acts. Because in it, Luke, the author of Acts, relates to us all sorts of various accounts of all that the apostles and the disciples did after Jesus departed and went back to heaven. Acts picks up where the Gospel of Luke ends off. It really works as a bridge then between the four Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. It gives us also a historical background for all that we read in those New Testament letters. Acts lets us know where people were when they wrote these letters and what was going on during that whole period. Right? It really ties things together for us. Like the Gospel of Luke, the book of Acts is a letter written to Luke's friend, Theophilus. And Luke himself says why he wrote it. He says, "I wrote it to give an accurate account of all that took place." Now, that's important information for us this morning as we start to look at this book of Acts. You know, have you ever heard someone tell you a story that was maybe just a little too fantastical? I don't know if that's a word or not. Just too fantastic. You're like, that can't possibly be true. But later on, you found out that every word of that person's story was true. Listen, Luke is a first-class historian of the first century. He's a first-class historian. Modern historians have proven the accuracy of the things that Luke reports. You know, in what's going on in the cities and towns of the time, in the way that they lived, Luke is a first-rate historian. And he did his research. He interviewed eyewitnesses. Let's not forget that. Luke is getting his information from eyewitnesses that were there when these things happened. His reporting is true and accurate. The Acts of the Apostles is not make-believe or wishful history. Right? It's an accurate account of how the apostles established the New Testament church in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all throughout the rest of the Mediterranean world. We'll get to the ends of the earth later on. Now, I'm super excited about working through this because we are going to see here the power of God at work. I mean, the real power of the real God really at work establishing the New Testament church. We're going to see how that power of God works through the apostles to establish the New Testament church. I hope you'll get excited about it too. Here's why. Because God is the same, we know, yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same, which means God is still working in the world in a powerful way to establish his kingdom now. Right? He is working to establish his kingdom, and he is using people today, like you and me, disciples, to spread the gospel and establish his kingdom. Now, let's be honest, it looks different now than it did in the first century. Right? But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the power that he used then is the same power that he's using now. Well, let's dive in. Now, have you ever seen the movie, or I should say that for most of you, maybe the TV show Mission Impossible? I don't see anybody super young. Maybe when you hear the word Mission Impossible, you think of the movie with Tom Cruise in it, or I don't know, is it like Mission Impossible 5 now? I'm not even sure. Right? But if you were older, you would realize that the Mission Impossible idea was actually a TV show. It's older than the movie. And it ran from 1966 to 1973. You know, but the opening scene, it's always the same. Same in the movies, same in the TV show. There's someone, usually one of the leaders of the IMF, which, if you didn't know, is called the Impossible Mission Force. They get this message, and the message always says, here's your mission, should you choose to accept it, blah, 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 whatever it is for that next hour. Then followed by the famous last words, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Maybe you've heard someone use that before. And then 5 seconds later, of course, at least in the TV show, all that tape would burn up in smoke. Listen, We're about to go on a journey in Acts. It really is going to be a journey. I mean, Acts has 28 chapters. We're obviously going to be here for a number of weeks. Will there be danger? Yes, we're going to see danger here in the book of Acts. Will there be intrigue and difficulty and excitement? Yes, we're going to see all of that taking place here in the establishment of the New Testament church. Will we see God at work? That's another question I want you to think about. Will we see God at work in powerful ways to make sure that the commission he gave the apostles is fulfilled? Yes, yes, we will. Because although this is called the Acts of the Apostles, it's God who is working here, right? It's God who is doing the work. And because God is doing the work, I want us to realize that the mission that he's sending them on is not mission impossible, right? It's mission possible. Because God is the one behind it, not only is God going to give them the commission, the call to go and spread the gospel, he's going to give them the power to do it. Because when God calls his people to a mission, he provides the power to fulfill that mission. That's really our take this morning on these first 11 verses. God's not only going to give you a mission, but give you the power to fulfill that mission. And your mission is mission possible. Let me pray. Lord, as we begin this journey, as we open up Acts, starting at verse 1, Lord, we pray that we would see your power at work from the very beginning of this book. Not only to call your people to a mission, but to make that mission possible. And we pray, Lord, that we would see that the same power at work here is at work now. And we pray that we would see that throughout this study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so God does call us to a mission. We're going to see in verse 8 when we get there that our mission is to be his witnesses of the gospel. So let me read the first 11 verses. As Luke writes, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.' And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" When God calls you to mission, he makes it possible for you to fulfill that mission. And the first power I want you to see in this passage is what I'm calling the power of proof. The power of proof. Maybe we could call it, it's the assurance of truth. Luke wants us to understand that the story he is telling, the account of the ascension of Christ and the promise of the Holy Spirit, is true and verifiable. It's vital to our message as Christians because the resurrection is foundational to the message of the gospel. You realize that? The resurrection is absolutely foundational. It must be a resurrected Jesus that is talking to them here in Acts chapter 1. It's so foundational that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says this. It says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, whom he did not raise if it is true that he is still dead. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. That's how important this idea that Christ is raised from the dead and sitting there teaching his disciples and then taken into heaven. And Luke opens this letter with that simple comment that Jesus gave many proofs that he was alive. It wasn't just like we think he was alive. He gave many proofs over a period of 40 days that he was alive. Proofs here in the Greek, it means extremely convincing, factual evidence that helps to establish the truth of something. Just think about that. Extremely convincing, factual evidence that helps to establish the truth of something. The resurrection is not made up. It's not exaggerated. It's not a tale of wishful thinking. The disciples knew what it meant to be dead. Right? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus carried the dead body of Jesus to the tomb. They knew he was dead. Read John chapter 19 this afternoon. There's the story of that. But they also knew what it was, what it looks like to be alive, right? Read John chapter 20. That's where Thomas is told by Jesus, place your hand in my side. See my hands. Do not disbelieve, but believe. The power of proof, the verified truth of the resurrection is something God gives us here in Acts chapter 1 to help us spread the gospel, to help you fulfill your mission in verse 8, that we can unapologetically proclaim that Jesus was raised from the dead. Now, you know the power of proof every time you go to the bank and you want some cash. You roll up to the bank, not the ATM, well, kind of the ATM, but let's pretend we're going inside and going to go to a teller. If you just ask for cash, they're going to want to make sure that they know you that you are who you say you are. So you've got to hand them your ID. And when you hand them an ID and prove who you are, that's what gives you the access to that cash. The resurrection is proof that Christ's sacrifice for sins was accepted by God. That's why Paul says that if Christ is not raised from the dead, we're still in our sins. It's absolutely vital to our message. Do you believe the truth of the resurrection? Do you believe that the truth itself of the resurrection has power in its message? Power to help you fulfill your message. Now, are you using that power in your calling to spread the message? Are you using the power of the resurrection? Or do you stay away from that subject because you're afraid people won't believe? There's power of proof in the story of the resurrection because it's verified as true by the writer of Luke. Many proofs, he said, were given. But you not only have the power of proof here in Acts, we also have the power of the Holy Spirit, which I'm calling maybe the power to act. Right, we have the power to act. Have you ever felt like you have an inability to act, just not sure what to do? Jesus had promised that they would receive another helper. That helper is the Holy Spirit. They would be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And he reports here that it's going to happen. They're supposed to wait for it. Of course, we're going to talk more about that in Acts chapter 2 when we talk about Pentecost and the actual coming of the Holy Spirit. But this morning, I want you to see that Luke is letting us know that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, that he was crucified, and then even after the resurrection, gave instructions to go and wait for the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. There is a process in this plan of redemption that the Lord is encouraging them, right? Commanding them to follow. Are you ever timid about sharing the good news? I am. We all are sometimes, right? Timid about sharing the good news, a little nervous to talk about the resurrection. Maybe you're just not sure how effective your presentation will be, and so you're a little nervous. I want you to know up front, as we look at this book called The Acts of the Apostles, they weren't told to go right away either, right? They were told to wait. Wait for what? Wait to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. The point I want you to know this morning is that the fulfillment of the mission to spread the gospel is not done in your power. It's not done in your power. It's done in the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. The title of this letter is The Acts of the Apostles, but like I keep saying, God is the one doing the work then and now. Next time you're feeling a little timid about sharing the gospel, just think to yourself, I'm just going to say it, let the power of God loose. I'm just going to let the power of God loose and then trust that the power of God will be effective. And every one of these chapters that we're going to look at over I don't know how many weeks, right? We need to be reminded over and over, it's God who is working. Are you called to fulfill your mission? Yes, absolutely. But you can only do it if you are surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you. A couple of weeks ago, you know, we had our cemetery repair seminar out here. And there was one particular monument. There's probably others, but probably one of the worst monuments. It was tipped over. It had a degree when every time that a little water would get under there and freeze, it would lift it up and move it half of a millimeter or centimeter, whatever. But it was slowly pushing the stone off the edge. So we had to repair it. And so we wanted to lift the top piece of this monument off and set it aside so we could get to the base and re-level it. That top piece was estimated to be 700 pounds. That wasn't a problem, though. We just had Logan Spade pick it up for us. If you don't know Logan, he's 13. We just had him pick it up for us. Well, okay. He had a little help, right? He had a little help. We had this tripod, and at the top of the tripod was a hoist. And running through the hoist was a chain. And Logan, all he had to do was pull that chain, and that 700-pound slab picked right up, and we moved it off him. He made it look like child's play. Right? The power of the Holy Spirit is the hoist doing the work, but God will use you to exercise that power. Right? God will use you to exercise the Holy Spirit's power in the world, making it possible for you to do things you couldn't do on your own. There's no way Logan could have picked up that. 10 of us couldn't have picked. Well, okay, maybe if 10 of us could have got hands on it, we could have picked it up, right? But the Holy Spirit will use you. Your mission has the power of proof behind it, the assurance of truth, the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, and in it, right, the power to actually act and accomplish your mission. I want you to look at one more thing here, that here in Acts 1, we also have this power of promise, that there is a promise that your mission will be completed someday, that the mission to spread the gospel to all the ends of the world will be completed one day. That final goal will be reached. When the mission of the church is finished, Christ will return. Right? When the mission of the church is finished, Christ will return, and I believe there's power in that, is an encouragement to us to keep fighting the good fight, knowing that the end is sure. The end is sure. It's not a maybe he will come, it's he will come. So many promises in this passage. You will be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You will be my witnesses. Jesus will return is the message that angels give. Our study is going to be a constant reminder that when our mission is complete, right, Jesus will return. That's what the apostles were working for, right? And everything they did, they were working so that the promise would be fulfilled, that Christ would return. Here's a question I had to ask myself this week. As I thought about this idea of the promise the angels give, Jesus will return, am I living right now as if I believe Jesus will return? Now, I'm not even saying you have to believe he'll return tomorrow, but do you believe he will return when the mission is complete? It could be tomorrow. It could be next week, next year, 10 years from now. But do we believe that Christ will return when the mission is complete? Let me ask you, are you living right now as you believe that Jesus will return? Are you living that way? I'm trying to work out this illustration, especially in reference to our last hymn. If you haven't looked at the title yet, it's like, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" Let me see if I can work this illustration out for you. When my children were little, I used to work in the nursery once in a while, like in the toddler nursery, not very often in the infant nursery, but in the toddler nursery, I would play with the kids. There was always some toddlers, their parents would drop them off. They would say, "Hey, I'll be right back, go and play." And little Sarah, she would happily run off and go play. There were other toddlers, though, that would get dropped off, and the parents would say, "I'll be right back, go and play." And little Johnny, I mean, he would cry until that parent returned, constantly staring at the door for mom to come back. Now, I know there's a lot more to why a child, you know, gets upset when they're in a nursery. I get that. And maybe toddlers aren't the best example here to use. But let me just make my point. Look at Acts 1, verse 10 and 11. It says, "While they were gazing into heaven, as he went," that's Jesus, "behold, two men stood by them in white robes." It's clear that they're angels. "And they said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" I would say to you that both of those toddlers are watching the door, right? But one is watching the door and not enjoying anything else in the nursery, while the other is both enjoying the nursery and watching the door. How do I know that? Because when mom comes back, it doesn't matter whether Sarah's playing or Johnny's crying, they both see mom come through the door almost instantaneously. We are not to be standing, crying, just waiting for Jesus to return, gazing into heaven. One commentator says, like, the angels are basically saying, "Why are you stargazers? Why are you looking to heaven? Don't be looking to heaven. Get to work. You've got your marching orders." We are to be off playing in the world, fulfilling the calling Jesus gave us, being witnesses of the gospel to the very ends of the earth. That's our takeaway this week, really. We are to be witnesses to the world of the message of the gospel, knowing that it's the power of the gospel that will be effective, not us. But knowing that we have the power in us, in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to fulfill our mission. God has given the church the power it needs. God has given me the power I need. God has given you the power you need to fulfill this mission. Your mission is not mission impossible. It's mission possible through the power of God. I think it's interesting that they call that show Mission Impossible, because at the end of every show, what happens? They fulfill their mission. They fulfill their mission at the end of every show, every movie, and so it will be with your mission. Not because you perfectly share the gospel when you have the opportunity, not because you have some sort of power in yourself to make it effective for salvation. You don't. But because Jesus does, and he called you to be part of that mission. He called you to be part of that mission. He's providing you the power to be part of that mission. And he promises you that there will be an end to that mission when every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. God makes your mission possible. And when the work of spreading the gospel comes to an end, he will return. John Stott points out the simple implied message of the angels is the disciples saw Jesus go, everyone will see Jesus return. In the meantime, your mission is to go in the power of Christ to share the gospel, to tell people that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And by the way, there's no statement here that says, should you choose to accept your mission, right? There's no There's no question here in the text about whether you're going to accept the mission or not. This is your mission. The promise here is that you will fulfill it. Let's pray. Lord, we long to see this mission fulfilled. And we long to be joyful about being part of that mission. And so fill us just with the knowledge of how wonderful it is that Jesus gave many proofs that he rose from the dead. And then let us go with great joy in the power of the Spirit to proclaim that message. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together, take your hymnal, and turn to hymn number 85. Maybe they'll have a little different idea here when we say, will Jesus find us watching? Will he find us watching while we're working? Maybe just looking out of the corner of our eye for him to come while we're working to be ready in all things. Let's stand together. Hymn number 85. Maybe we need to leave here thinking one eye on the door and one eye on the work, and we move forward in the power of the Spirit to fulfill the Lord's call. Hear the Lord's benediction. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Amen.